Peter responded after the disciples, and he said, "You are the Messiah, Christ, the Son of God." And on that confession, Jesus, in his response, he said to Peter, "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then he said, "Also, I will give you the keys of the kingdom." He said, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose here on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And so today we go to chapter 18, and we'll look at just a couple of points here. And before we do that, I'm going to ask us to just close our eyes and we'll pray together. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy over us. We want to thank you for your Son you freely gave. You freely sent to die for our sins. We want to thank you for the grace, for your mercy over us. And we pray as we hear today from your word that you will encourage us, confirm our spirit and our soul and our mind of knowing you and knowing your ways. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just read to us the scripture from Matthew chapter 18. We'll just go through 4 points from chapter 18, but I'm going to read from the first 5 verses. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, that unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." For those of you who are new, we've been going through the book of Matthew, and we're getting there. In chapter 10, we talked about the life of the disciples. Concerning our outward behavior and how we live outside the world. And Jesus was equipping his disciples. He trained them. He gave them the principles of how they are going to live according to the kingdom. And in chapter 18, he speaks not only on our outward, our exterior action, but he challenges our inner being, our internal relationship with him. And that's what's happening here. So Jesus began with humility. The word humility reflects to many people something weak, something that is not strong. In the world that we live in, where everything is to do about how to be great, how to be successful, how to be prominent and distinguished, there are many books written about being important and being significant. And Jesus here, he brought in a little child and he said, for you to be great, You have to become like one of these little ones. He says, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you the truth. There's unless you change and become like these little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's such a contrast. But something that Christ is saying here that is so key that he wants his disciple not to miss. And that is the secret of being great is to be a servant. Not only in humility, but also the greatness to be in the kingdom of God, that not only to be a servant, that you will seek to serve others. When everything in this world today is about me, what can I get? How can I be great? How can I? It's a total contrast from what Jesus says. Be humble. It's hard. It's hard to walk in that place. Kids, they are teachable. Kids, there is such an innocence and purity behind them. They are willing. They are very absorbing. Jesus is saying, you become like one of these little ones. There is a sense of greatness when we become teachable, when we are willing to obey, when we are willing to come, when we are willing to stay, when we are willing to serve. He said to this little one, come here, stand there. It's this whole idea that we are willing to go where Jesus calls us to stay where he wants us to stay, the humility to obey God. To serve others. He said, these ones, they will be the greatest. Humility also is being real with who we are. So when was the last time we have walked in humility? What Jesus is saying here, Jesus that told them, he didn't just say to them, you got to be humble. He himself took on the mantle of a humble servant. He says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. That means that Jesus Christ took on the punishment of our sin. The punishment of the whole humanity, as if he was the one that committed it all. He took on the full wrath. He lay aside his glory. He voluntarily restrained himself from his power, and he walked this earth to serve us as a humble servant. He gave his life. He walked and reached out to those who are not important in society, and he brought them. He went and served them, the sick, the rejected, those who were marginalized. Jesus, he said to the disciples, you, if you want to be great, you will do these things. In other words, he's saying, you will do exactly what I've done. The Bible says that God is resisted to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He said, so humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. Are we humble? Another thing to talk about is welcome. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. This is a very powerful statement here, that Jesus is very welcoming. He said, but if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be best for him that a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned to the depths of the sea. That's a terrible picture. But it's not clear what Jesus is saying here in terms of whether children or little one also can be labeled as those who are unimportant, those who are less significant in the eyes of man. Both little children and those who, in the eyes of men who are little importance, Jesus says, welcome them. They have a place in my kingdom. The church, our community, is a place where that is honored, that we give honor not only to our children, we recognize the significance of their place here in the church, but for those in which whom we think in the eyes of society, those who are not important. Many times in different churches we have different groups of people associated among themselves. We see that all over the place, all over the world. But in the church of God, that everyone is significant. Everyone, that at the foot of the cross, that what Paul says in Galatians, that there are no Jews, no Gentiles, no slaves, no rich or poor, that we are all equal. This is in the eyes of Jesus. He welcomes those who are marginalized, those who are probably insignificant in society. And it's a challenge for us as a church, a challenge for us. For the disciples it is. Jesus said, you have to do this. Make sure that you humble, that you serve and give your life for others. And make sure that you don't alienate anybody. Welcome. And I want to say there today, many of us might not think that we are not important. But in the eyes of God, you are. You are loved, just as the song that we sang before. You are loved and cared for by God. That's good news. Amen? You are significant. You're important. Your life is worth fighting for. You are welcome in the presence of God and as children of God. No matter who you are, you have the right to be in his presence. For those of us who believe in Christ, for those of us who have benefited from the grace and the mercy of God through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, for those of us who have put our faith in him, we belong to his family. Amen? We have every right to be part of his family. No matter who you are, or where you come from, or the color of your skin, or what you have much or you have none, or less, God say, welcome. You are welcome in his kingdom. He said to his disciples, welcome these people. I tell you the truth, he said. Whoever welcomes the little child like this in my name welcomes me. That's why it's important for us that we create that environment of welcoming, an environment of acceptance, a welcome of speaking life into people, honoring people. No matter where they're from, what culture, or what situation or journey they are from. These places, what Jesus is saying here, honor them. Not only welcome them, but honor them. Welcome their place in your community. So that's a challenge for us. How welcoming are we? Are we only welcoming to a certain group of people? Are we only welcoming to our own group, Bible study, or a little group that we have things in common? Or we are welcoming to everyone, that everyone have a place in our hearts and in our community of faith? And then he speaks of forgiveness. In 21, it talks about the parable of an unmerciful servant. We know the story about the servant. He owed a lot of money. Let me just read that. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sinned against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus said, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. In other words, it's not just 490 times you should forgive people. What Jesus is saying is ongoing and on and on and on, you should forgive them. Forgiveness is something that is challenging in this society today. When was the last time we've ever asked forgiveness to somebody? When was the last time we've ever forgiven someone in our hearts? Why is Jesus talking about this stuff? Because it matters in the kingdom of God. Nowadays, people don't ask for forgiveness or apologize. It has become a word that, I can do something wrong and I can justify the reason why I do this, so that I owe nobody any apology. Are we like that as believers? Forgiveness is a sign of true believers that we don't deserve the mercy and the forgiveness of God. But he chose to forgive us. He chose to cleanse us from our sin. He chose to reconcile us. The love of God, the fact that we can be forgiven, that one day you wake up in the morning and you realize that there is freedom from all the stuff that we have hold on into our hearts, that there is hope that we can be free from it. And this powerful word, forgiveness, to forgive people of their sins. Not only that, but to also ask for forgiveness. It's hard to do that, to apologize to people. When was the last time you forgive someone? When was the last time you apologize to someone? Jesus said, 70 times 7. Forgiveness, releasing forgiveness, it's an ongoing. We free others also when we ask them for when we release forgiveness to them. I remember when I first met my dad for the first time, not long ago, he came and he embraced me and he said, the first thing that came out of his mouth was, forgive me, Joelle. And I said to him, I've forgiven you a long time ago. And this is what he did. There are people that are carrying burden everywhere they go. They're walking around with shackles of unforgiveness. Jesus highlighted here to us as the church and how it is important for us to help those who do not know the forgiveness of God to find forgiveness, that there is mercy and forgiveness also available in Christ. And also for us to be able to forgive others. We are going to face disappointment in our lives. We're going to be hurt. We're going to be misunderstood. Things we say will be misinterpreted. All kinds of stuff will happen that would find its roots of bitterness and resentment in our hearts. Jesus said here to Peter, forgive. And then lastly, freedom from resentment. Jesus described, therefore, there's a king. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he began the settlement. A man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. So they went and told the master everything. Then the master called the servant. You wicked servant, he said. I cancel all the debt that you owe me because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servants just as I on you? Amazing story. God has forgiven us. He has made forgiveness available to those who do not know him. And for us as Christians, sometimes it's difficult. As I've said before. But Jesus is saying this to the disciples, reinforcing the incredible the gravity of the love of God towards mankind. He himself walked this earth, extending mercy to people, even those who rejected him. He hung on the cross, we know that. He said, Father, forgive them. Through the pain and everything that he suffered, he said, forgive them because they do not know. Forgiveness comes from the very heart of God. Forgiveness It's a vital part of living in the kingdom. It's the kingdom way of breakthrough. What he's saying to the disciples, that God is here, has ushered us into a new kingdom through the coming of Jesus Christ. And he's saying to his disciples, this is how you will live. The kingdom start now. This is how you live in the kingdom. You live according to the ways of my kingdom. Humble, like a little child. Welcoming, as I've done. Yeah? Forgiven. And freedom from resentment. This man who was forgiven by the king holds these grudges still against the man who owe him something. We cannot walk this life with resentment in our hearts. We cannot walk in freedom if we hold grudges against anyone. We cannot enter the kingdom of God with all these bags of grudges and resentment we have. It's an incredible story. And he says in verse 35, this is how the Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Humility, welcoming, forgiving one another reflects the heart of the kingdom. And as a church and as individual, that we need to look at that. Jesus did that for us. He humbled himself. He opened his heart. He reached out to those who are not important, those who are rejected. He didn't just hang out with the important people. He taught them to forgive, because that's the reason why he came. To release forgiveness, to give us an opportunity to be forgiven by putting our faith in him so we can be reconciled with God. And he invites us not to participate in any feeling or hold grudges or resentment against anyone. Because Jesus didn't hold any grudges against you and I. What if God do that? He's merciful. He's forgiving. He's humble and he's welcoming to all of us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for this lesson. We pray that you will help us to live out your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.